from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Craig Breslow spent yesterday adding depth to the Red Sox bullpen, acquiring Lucas Sims from Cincinnati and Luis Garcia from the Angels. And he will talk about those moves and the Red Sox going forward at 9 on this morning's show. But right now, we got to get to this.
It's time for...
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up to Del Bambino and have me face him. Maybe I'll drill him in the eye.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
All right, time for a quick back and forth on what they said yesterday in sports. Chaim, where do you want to start?
Well, Greg, I believe it's only appropriate that we start with Craig Breslow here. Talking about, yes, Craig Breslow talking about his shopping list.
Craig.
At the deadline yesterday.
You can go into a deadline with a pretty clearly defined shopping list and walk out feeling like you accomplished it. I think you feel good about it. I think this team has shown that they are more than capable. We're winning. We have our sights set pretty squarely on the playoffs and deserve some reinforcements. So I think the combination of what we were able to bring in over the last couple of days and some guys getting healthy positions us really well.
Okay. I mean, Curtis, you said it at the start of the show. Not very splashy when it came to the moves. Didn't add a significant right-handed bat to the lineup, really.
Yeah, I mean...
You added a backup catcher who hits righty, but I don't...
But your hitting is fine. Your hitting is good. I won't say fine. Your hitting is good. When you look at your bats are good. I don't think batting...
You said during your lead, top 10 in Major League Baseball
right
now.
Yeah, in most major categories.
When it comes to hitting the baseball. Mm-hmm. So
you look at average, you look at hits, you look at total bases, even home runs. So it was more about, and I think Shime had that last week, and it was more about your pitching, your staff, whether it was starters or bullpen, and I think they addressed those issues.
Yeah, okay. We will talk to Craig Breslow at 9 this morning, but it seems like he got, at least he believes, got everything that was on his list when he went to the Major League Baseball grocery store.
Craig.
All right, what's next, Shime?
Next, Greg, one of the guys that Curtis wanted, one of those right-handed bats, was Justin Turner, who happened to be in the building yesterday. Our guy Tom Carroll at WEEI.com got a chance to hear from Justin Turner, and Turner mentioned how he thought there was a chance he might actually end up a Red Sox again.
Yeah, I think once I had the conversation with Ross up there and basically saying, hey, you're on an expiring contract, we're going to try to move you, it's not a slam dunk, but we're trying to go somewhere. Obviously, the wheels start spinning and you start thinking of what teams it could possibly be, and the Red Sox were certainly one of the teams that I thought there was a chance, but it didn't happen, and that would be a Seattle.
Were they at the Grand, or where were they?
It sounded like the Astros were in town.
He's a good clubhouse guy. Mm-hmm. Really, really good clubhouse guy. But he didn't end up getting him, and so...
They got their backup catcher. Good move.
He also made a joke about knowing more guys on the Red Sox than he does on the Mariners, and he's on the Mariners.
All right, what's next?
Well, let's pivot over to football a little bit. Julian Edelman brought back Ernie Adams on his podcast, and him and Ernie talked about how you would go about kind of finding out about prospects and how you did your research, more or less, and this is what Ernie had to say.
What was the scouting and the player evaluation process like during your time in New England?
Every school, if you happen to know the equipment guy, they'll tell you, hey, this guy's been in my locker for 4 years. He's an ass. You don't want him. He may actually know what kind of guy you're looking for. So if you know that the equipment guy, what his brand of cigars is, you may take him a box of cigars. Hey, just tell me who are the guys we don't want. If it's the right person telling you, that information can be gold. Now, what's happened, of course, is now with all the stuff with social media, people are barred from talking to NFL people. It's harder to get the information that you really need. But you still try to figure out a way to go get it.
Hmm. So Ernie bemoaning the fact that you can't bribe the equipment guys with in cigars. College anymore with cigars to get inside information.
Oh, we know. What's his brand of cigars? He likes some Cubans. Ernie, send him a box down there. Find out what that guy's like when he asks for an extra pair of jockstrap.
Well, now it would be vapes. What kind of vapes does the dude like?
How does he take his Zen?
All right.
That was classic.
What's next, Shime?
That'll do it for the set of today, Greg. Pretty light load today.
Jeez. Oof. All right. Let's get to Nate.
One more.
Nate, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
What's up, Nate?
Not so much, Greg. You brought up the whole migrant thing, and this has been going on for about a year, year and a half now, we all know. And they had the excess money of COVID to pay for this, right? So I think we got a perfect storm coming up. A lot of them don't talk about it. Is the fact that 4% mail-in tax, and for the past couple of years, that was approved a couple of years ago. And then now, you know, in the past couple of years, you've lost 40,000 people in the state.
Yeah.
Okay. Plus, if we do have an economic downturn and people stop spending, like, where are they going to get all this money? So they're going to have to cut eventually and leak into the local aid. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if you think about it, if you also think about it too, look at, they don't break down the numbers. And of course they don't break down the numbers. You know how much those people eat, the cost to feed one of those people every day?
No idea. I mean, you got to divide a billion dollars.
That has nothing. It's $67 per person per day at around 40,000 to 50,000 people in this state. Not only that, they get Medicare and Medicaid for the health care.
Yeah.
Okay. Plus, there's also known for that they get transportation to and from their appointments, and also they have their they get dry cleaning also too.
Oh.
So.
Well. It's very nice.
This is a problem. Like, when does it stop, though, Greg?
I don't know. I mean, I think Courtney said, where does the $1 billion come from? Mm-hmm. It comes from you.
Yeah.
That's where it comes from. So, I mean, it's over the next fiscal year in the Commonwealth, it'll cost $1 billion to house and to take care of our new neighbors.
But I thought Maura Healey just told us that families here that need the help are going to get the help before the migrants, and went on and on about, mm-hmm. you know, changing the way that the system has been working. So wouldn't the number one thing be right now to take care of the people who can't afford groceries here instead of upping how much money you're taking out of their pocket to support others? Mm-hmm. Like, wouldn't that be...
You would think.
But remember, politicians, they always capping. So Maura Healey was straight up capping us.
She was.
Yeah. We're gonna focus on the people that are from here, live here, you know, homeless veterans. Take care of them first. Then you find this out and you're like, oh.
Yeah.
I know we don't agree on much, Greg, but don't you feel like 99% of the people listening to this right now think it's absurd?
I do think that, yeah. I mean, it's $1 billion.
It's a lot of money.
That the state just doesn't have.
Not only does the state not have it, the people that are already here paying taxes need it.
Yeah.
Did you see that viral bill for Trader Joe's the other day?
No.
$444 for this guy and his family in California. And it was, when you did, there was a segment on, I think, NBC, I don't know the exact network, but it was just nothing out of the ordinary. It was what you use to feed a family for a week or two.
Did they get the peanut butter chocolate?
They did.
JoJo's?
Those are delicious.
Those things are to die for.
Can I tell you something? If you want to go away from being a spare human to an actual dad to bullet, organic hummus at Trader Joe's.
Really?
Chef's kiss.
Okay.
But
I also enjoy the cookie butter ice cream at Trader Joe's.
Very good.
Cookie butter,
yeah.
Huh?
Yes.
Very good.
Yes.
I like their seasonal pumpkin. But no, I just feel like everybody that's listening to us is driving to a job they feel underpaid at. With bills, they're having a trouble, you know, paying every couple weeks.
Yeah.
And everything's getting more expensive, but their salary remains the same. And in that time, we're being told that we have $1 billion laying around to give to people who have not spent a dime adding to the economy or paying taxes.
It would be, if you had endless amounts of money, then I think most people would agree.
Mm-hmm.
Let's give it to those who are making their way here to try and live the American dream.
Right.
Yes. But we don't have endless amounts of money, and mm-hmm. we have people every day that are making a choice on whether they pay the grocery bill that Curtis is talking about or the electric bill for their home, or whether they buy new shoes for their kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so those people should come first, I think.
And you know what's even more onerous, even more difficult than the insane interest rates when you're paying for a mortgage? The credit card interest rates that are absolutely
ridiculous,
absurd, and they are killing people who are just trying to pay for their kids to have food on the table. And it's just the height of just being just detestable and higher than thou or holier than thou is these politicians who profess to understand their constituents, but then allow things like this to go on.
And are also making like hundreds of thousands of dollars.
But why are we voting these people in?
Because they don't, when they run, they don't say they're going to do these things. Right?
Know. I mean, no, I understand that element of it. I look at it like, you know, I understand we all pay taxes, but I always say like, all right, if you're going to tax me, let it go to something that I'm like, all right, people need help that, you know, are struggling here. They live here. They work here. They need help. And so, okay, our taxpayer money is going towards that, fixing the roads. You know, people who ride on the T. Like, I get it. But, you know, when like Curtis said, when you really don't contribute, you don't pay taxes. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, I mean, I get it. Where you come from is a struggle. But there are people that live here, from here, that are struggling daily.
All right. Well, if you missed my lead this morning, the estimate over the next fiscal year here in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts is that the cost of the emergency shelter program will be $1 billion. $1 billion.
I have a show idea.
Yes.
We get Jackson to bring all of our dry cleaning and see if he can get it for free.
Well, when all you have to do is basically like, how do you get rid of your... residentship, is that the word for it? How can he become a migrant?
Renounce his citizenship?
Yes, like renounce it and then be like, come back.
He'd probably have to go somewhere.
Right.
Like go to Trinidad for a day or something and then come back.
I don't know. Isn't there a way to be like, you know, just go online nowadays and say, like, I renounce my citizenship?
Didn't all of Hollywood do it in 2016?
And then go to another site and say, I want to become a citizen and you get that migrant money?
Yeah. All right. Well, we got to get to Courtney and to what is trending this hour.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank. The trade deadline came and went after making five moves in 5 days. Craig Breslow ended with the acquisition of Luis Garcia just minutes before 6 p.m. yesterday. The Sox dropped one against the Mariners 10-6 last night. All eyes were on James Paxton, who went 4 2/3, giving up 3 runs on 6 hits while striking out 5.
Not his fault.
No.
They didn't help him out.
No.
Behind him there with 3 errors. That fifth inning was obnoxious.
Yeah.
So, but we'll see what he is and see what he can do and see if he can eat up some innings for you, I guess.
In an earlier game for the two teams tonight, first pitch at 4:10 with Brian Baio getting the start. You can hang out with Arcan at 3:10 for the MassMutual pregame show. Then Sean McDonough and Will Fleming have the call on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network right here on EEI and, as always, on the Odyssey app. Pat's training camp was another one that saw no Matt Judon and Drake May struggles. The Matt Judon situation, I heard, Phil Perry, Tommy Curran talking about how they still think that something could come about between the two teams, the two sides.
Well, they say they're very far apart.
Right. That Matt Judon, whatever they offered Matt Judon, he did not even consider it. But that something could still come to be between the two sides.
Oh, really?
Yes. But we're the closer and closer we get to September. I mean, and I also, and I've said this about other sports, especially baseball, if a team comes to a player with some type of offer and they scoff at it and they wouldn't even consider it, don't you think that leaves a bad taste in Matt Judon's mouth?
I mean, I don't know. How can he have a bad taste in his mouth? They did what he wanted them to do last season. Like, I'm always on an island on this, but you sign a deal. He said a week ago, I put my name on the deal, and so I'm going to have to play it out. Essentially, that's what he said. And then he started a kerfuffle about it with Mayo and Wolf et al. This week. So I don't know.
Well, and the interesting part about it is, like, we kind of know how he feels. And listen, shout out to the kid, what's his name, Mark Lewis from the Shut Up Mark podcast for getting us to know how Judon feels. Like, he's like, they got all this money in cap space. They don't do nothing with it.
He doesn't own the football team. Right, I hate to break it to him.
But we know it's. But I think this is a better look into players and on how they feel. Because I know Curtis is always talking about players and cap space and everything. And, like, you know, and people are always saying, oh, the cap is real. But when you finally have a player come out and talk about how they feel about the cap and how, wait a second, we got all this money. I'm through four games last year at four sacks. I'm one of the better defensive players on this team, whether you want to say he's the best or not.
He played four games last year.
And he had four sacks.
Okay.
In four games.
He was only available for four games.
Right. I understand that.
He got paid a full salary for four games.
I understand that. But in the world of football, he's showing us, like, kind of the behind the scenes. And now we know how players think. Like, you got this cap space. Spend it on us.
Yeah. Uh-huh. If Matt Judon would like to speak directly to the fans, our show's always available.
Yes, absolutely.
The Olympics are going on. USA Women's Gymnastics, the oldest team the U.S. has ever sent to the Olympics, won gold in the all-around team final, so that adds another gold medal for the U.S., who sits at four this morning, leading overall medals with 26. Japan leads gold medals with 7. And Northeastern Savings Bank is the leading big bank alternative for families and businesses in Massachusetts. Upgrade to a local partner. Upgrade to Northeastern Savings Bank, member FDIC and DIF. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. It is currently 74 degrees in Boston. Mostly cloudy skies. Partly cloudy afternoon, high in the mid-80s.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
I love football. I don't love the business of football. Like I said, like, I don't want to be the villain. I don't want to be the bad guy, but it's like, shoot, bro. Like, help me out. We got the most cap in the league right now, bro. Like, what the? And then with that, like, they don't even get the money. So what the hell are y'all doing with it? Like, y'all literally just not using it. Those guys have a tough decision. It's hard for them. It's hard to know who to give the money to, when to give the money to, where, how much. There's a lot of stuff that go along with that. But I wrote out my own contract and sent it to them. They just ain't responding.
Tell me lies, tell me sweet little lies. Tell me lies.
appears to be surprised that he wrote out his own contract and the New England Patriots didn't just sign on the dotted line. I was listening to Grecian Foyer yesterday, Wiggy, and Foyer made a great point. Said, we got to stop referring to this as a hold-in. It is a holdout. It is, it's like calling somebody who doesn't do anything at work somebody who is quiet quit, I would say. So, I mean, it's a holdout. I don't know how you resolve it short of, at this point, of trading him, but
maybe trade him or pay him.
Maybe they'll give and they'll give in and give him his money. I don't know. If you're Matt Judon and you look, you're evaluating cap space and suggesting that that money should go to you and not to acquiring talent that might make the team better. Would you want that money spread evenly between all of the other guys who are on the football team, or is it just you, Matt?
No, I think he's probably like, me.
Are there other guys who could use a raise over there?
I think he's like
everybody else who is out to make the most money, and he knows everybody else is doing that for themselves too.
Right. Who benefits more when it comes to, and I always love this, is like when you think about how much the owners make and how much they give players. Do you really believe we saw DJ Moore just signed with the Chicago Bears, or we've seen some of these quarterbacks? Do you think they're giving them their actual worth on what they're bringing in into the money that they're putting in their pockets?
Their issue should be, we discussed this yesterday when Sean O'Brien stopped by here, their issue should be with the Players Association.
Right, I get that.
They're the ones who give in every time when the owners say, we're not going to guarantee every contract.
Well, that's because the owners know. The owners know
they can play dirty pool because they need to get 7 out of 10 players to sign up, and the best players in the league are not represented by 70% of the rank and file players that vote to ratify the CBA.
Like Sean O'Brien. He knows that the company got plenty of money to say, you know what, if we want to fight this in court, you want to go on strike, fine. We got plenty of money. We got enough of a fallback fund for the company that will be good. Players don't have that.
And I would just say this, Wiggy, sorry. I would say that the biggest thing for me that the Judon negotiations shows me is it shatters any foundational belief I have in this organization for the next 5 years. That this was such an easy oncoming vehicle. Matthew Judon, your most talented player, outspoken critic of roster building, even when Belichick was here, and you're taking care of all these guys around him, and you wait until camp to even sit down and negotiate? They should have either signed him or traded him before they signed anybody else, and they avoid this entirely.
Correct, Curtis.
This is Jeff from where? Hello, Jeff.
Good morning.
What's up?
Hey, I just wanted to, first time caller, just wanted to call in, say I love the show, and Greg, I'm 110% behind you on this Matt Judon thing. This contract negotiation thing is just getting out of control. They need to trade him.
Yeah. I mean, is he going to be happy? So you get some kind of deal done with him, and then you get seven games into the season, and he wants more? I mean, I don't know.
Pay him his worth.
What, is everybody else? So then you give him what he's not worth it. He's a holdout, or in the Twitch chat, somebody suggested it's actually a hold up. So he's a holdout. He gets his money. He gets his way. And then isn't everybody else going to go, all right, I'm going to do the same thing?
No, but everybody else can do that.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody that's Matt Judon's level, though, or above will. So the front office has to consider that.
But that's a pretty high level. Like, when you get to that level, that means you are a huge contributor to the success of your football team, your franchise, whatever it is. Not everybody can do that, right? Do you think they feel Godchild's the other one? Do you think he's on the same level as Judon? Or are they like, you know what? All right, whatever. We'll ship you out of here.
Yeah.
And our defense, you know, won't miss a beat.
Yeah.
So even though some people might try it, you got to have that type. It's like the great movie we all love with Tupac and Omar Epps. You got the juice now. You got to have the juice to be able to sit there and do what we're seeing Matt Judon do, Trent Williams, or Brandon Ayuk, or Jamar Chase.
What about David Andrews? Like, so you give Matt Judon more money? Isn't David Andrews going to be entitled to step up and go, hey, wait a minute, I want my deal redone?
If he fails that way.
But David Andrews doesn't play a premium position. Like, defensive end right now is, outside of quarterback and wide receiver, the third most important, highest paid position. So if David Andrews played defensive end, he would. But as a center, at his age, sadly, I mean, I think David Andrews should be paid 10 times what he makes. He's a great Patriot, but that's just not the way it works.
This is Dave from Connecticut. Hello, Dave.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up?
This Matt Judon thing, he needs to take his clown show out of town. It's getting ridiculous. I mean, this is a time Mayo could actually step up and say, you know, someone, I'm not putting up with this guy, and he needs to get control of that at their locker room. And I tell you, does anybody on this, in this whole show, think that Matt Judon is going to get them to the playoffs this year or next year? I mean, there's 30, no way.
What is he,
it's
30?
Not worth it. Get him
30,
out.
31, 32 years old.
He's your best player.
Yeah, he's certainly not going to hurt.
I don't think it's necessarily fair that we punish Jerod Mayo for this. Like, this is more of a front office issue than it is a Jerod Mayo issue.
Right.
Mayo yesterday addressed the issue. He went over, talked to Judon, basically sent Judon off the field. And he's like, don't come back until you decide you want to play. Like, that, I think Mayo's doing everything he can. I think this should be more, this should be more onus on Elliot Wolf than anybody else.
You look at Judon, his first year with New England, 12.5 sacks. His second year with New England, 15.5 sacks. Last year through four games, 4.5 sacks. There was a point in time when he was out and you couldn't sniff the quarterback. And people were like, oh man, you need Judon back. So to say Judon is washed is just stupid. Yeah, he might be 31 years old or whatever, but at the defensive end position, it's completely different. It's not like you need a, you're a wide receiver who's 32.
Mm-hmm. I just don't understand the fan base, and this has been going on for a while. And it's, Greg, you represent the majority. I think Wiggy and I are the minority in this, but like, why are you trying to be protective of Robert Kraft's money? He's got more money than God. He's perfectly fine. Matthew Judon is a good player on a team without many of them. Why wouldn't you sign him? That'd be my question. What's the downside? Wouldn't you give him another $10 million this year?
You did it last year. You did the same exact thing for him last year.
And did Robert Kraft have to refinance? Did he have to sell one of his homes?
I don't know, because I'm not... Robert Kraft is the one who owns the football team.
Right.
And so...
A massively profitable endeavor.
Yes, but we don't own it. Matthew Judon doesn't own it.
But if the more money the players get, the better it is for us. The more money Kraft gets, that sucks for us. Because who cares? It gets a new helicopter?
So for all those people that are like, oh, he's washed. You don't know what you're talking about, Wiggy. Just cut the guy. Let him go. Last year as a team, you had 36 sacks. The year prior to that, with Judon, you had 54 sacks. And what, Curtis is right, when you look at positions in the National Football League, when it comes to positions of importance, it's a quarterback, defensive ends, wide receivers, and tackles, offensive tackles.
It should be tight ends.
You know, it should be, but you know, we're not. We'll make our way there one day. Yeah. So when you look at the importance of what he means to your team, and you look at these teams that are successful, it's about having D linemen that can create problems.
This is Joe in the car. Hey, Joe.
Good morning. What's typical up? Wiggy, always taking the player's side, man.
Yep.
Wiggy, why sign contracts? Let me ask you a question. Why why do people sign contracts?
Why? Because they
want
to work. That's why they sign contracts. They want to work.
Yeah, they want to work because they agree for that particular price.
Joe, can I ask you something?
He signed the contract, buddy. He signed
Joe, can I ask you a question?
I'm not doing mine yet.
All right, go ahead, and then I want to ask you something.
So why doesn't Judon just shut up, play his last year, play the year, show the Patriots that he's still worth the value, and then go back and renew his contract? He signed the contract. So that's like...
Can I ask a question,
Joe? Sure. Sure, why, even though you didn't answer mine, but
I did answer your thing because he wants to play.
Why? He wanna work?
Yeah, he wants to work. Why is it, Joe? Let me ask my question. Joe, let me ask my question. Why is it that when guys get to the end of their contract and a team feels like they're not performing at the same level, why is it that the owners in front office say to them, "We want you to take less money"?
Okay, that same question that you just asked me, why don't you go ask the players union?
You didn't answer. It has nothing to do with the players union. No, don't hang up on it. Joe, answer the question. No, it doesn't. Why is it cool for an owner to go to a guy when a guy has a specific number and the owner says, "We're not paying you that. We want you to take less money"?
Again,
why is that cool?
That is what the union agreed to.
The union agreed to it.
The union didn't agree to that. Joe.
Why do the owners fight so hard to not guarantee the contracts you think are so sacred, Greg?
Because they're running a business, and they are entitled to make the decisions that they think are best for their business.
As is Matthew Judon, an independent contractor who will be 32 in August, who may never, if he gets hurt this year, the reason he's not going to play is that while it's a lot of money to all of us, if he's done this year at 32, he's thinking about his kids and their generational opportunity.
Curtis, don't act this way. Like, you don't act this way in business. You don't go, "This show is doing very well here." Am I correct?
It's excellent, yes.
Very close to being number one.
Right.
You're in the middle of a one-year contract.
That's right.
You very well could have leverage and go to Mike Thomas and say, "You know what? I want a new deal done now." You don't do that.
But I bet
he doesn't have that type of juice.
What do you mean he does? He has the most juice out of anybody around here.
I have no juice.
He's got a lot of juice.
Let me give it one second.
All right.
Matthew Judon's son or daughter may have an opportunity to be patient like I am. Does that make sense? I have privilege that I have growing up with support from my family that I think I need to be very good at what I do. This company's been good to me, and I view things differently, but I am afforded that privilege.
Have the Patriots been good to Matt Judon? Were they good to him last season when he wanted a new deal?
I think they've been good to each other.
Right. So I asked Joe the question, why is it that anytime I bring that up, nobody ever can answer it? He goes, "Well, it's the players' union." Well, guess what? In the CBA, players have the ability to hold out. So this is something that they have the ability to do. But when I ask you, Greg, and all these others, Joe, who called in, why is it cool for an owner to go to a guy who they feel like might not be performing at the level and go, "We don't want to honor your contract. We want to take less money, pay you less money"? Why is that cool?
They generally get that money at the end anyway.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they do.
No, they don't.
They do, Wiggy. They get money at the end of these deals all the time.
Well, then why would they fight so hard for it, though?
Yeah. Here's Paul. Hello, Paul.
All right, everybody. Let's just take a breath and think back. So from a business standpoint, okay, Wiggy, I'm going to keep this simple. All right? I work for a company. I do X, Y, and Z. And I'm expected to do it 10 or 15 times a year, right? Year to year, if I only do it 12. I only do it 10 times. I only do it 9 times. The expectation from the business side is still the same, right?
I'm listening, what? Yeah. I'm listening.
Okay, so why is that any different than pro sports?
So if Judon is doing what he's supposed to be doing, he's out on the field, he's making plays, but he's not making as many plays, why is it cool for the owners in front office to come to him and go, we're not honoring your last year of your contract because we feel like you're not producing at the level we want you to produce? Because guess what? In NFL contracts, it doesn't specify, here's how many sacks you need to have for you to be producing.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't specify that.
But he should, I mean, if you're injured, if you faced injuries in the last year, don't you think that plays into an owner of a team, like on the business side, to say, "Well, I'm not sure if we want to up the contract right now or give you more money because we haven't seen the production in the last season because you were hurt."
Okay, so guess what? When I wasn't hurt, I went well above the production. I want new money. What's wrong with that? You just said the owner goes, "Well, you were hurt." But guess what? When I wasn't hurt, I went way above the money.
And if I'm the owner, I said, "You should have come to us then." And he did, and Bill gave him more money.
But if you want to understand the real core of these owners and how they believe, they gain cap space by guaranteeing money. They all tell their fans they just want to win. The way they can win is by guaranteeing a contract, which the player wins and the team wins, because it allows you more money to spend against the cap the owners created to collude against the players. Yet they don't do it. They give the impression that they care, when the reality is, if they really did, they'd guarantee the contracts and they can make a super team.
Mm. And Greg, what's the our Odyssey app? We have to rewind, right?
Mm-hmm.
Joe should go back and listen to my lead.
Oh.
Was I pro player or pro team or pro ownership?
You were pro ownership in your lead.
So I go both ways.
You do. You do go both ways. We've often discussed that behind your back here.
It's all right.
All right. We'll see what happens. It's a hold in or a hold out or a hold up by Matthew Judon, and you could talk about that all day long here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. We will get to Courtney and today's news next. Coming up at 9, we will talk with Craig Breslow, the chief baseball officer of the Boston Red Sox, who was busy right up into the deadline last night at 6. Acquiring a couple right-handed arms for the bullpen, and we'll talk to Craig Breslow about that. I was talking to Wiggy during the break, and I think this is a fan perspective. The issue that the Patriots have created for themselves when it comes to a holdout like Matthew Judon is, in my mind, that they did such a great job of presenting the Patriot way and the do it for the team perspective, that you looked at a guy like Julian Edelman and said, wow, Julian Edelman could be making $6 million a year if he were playing for somebody else, but he wants to be here playing for this team, and so he's willing to take $3 million.
You nailed it. Because it makes everybody look now, who's probably just doing what people have been doing forever, ungrateful. And that's the issue that Patriots fans have. It's because for so long we were winning and guys were, quote, taking less to be here and better the team.
Yes.
Now guys are asking for their worth.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all saying, well, so you're not loyal to us Patriots fans? And everybody's offended by it.
Right. And you know what they did? They are the perfect, great movie, and I love this movie. They are the perfect Kaiser Sose, the Kevin Spacey character, where they make you believe that this is how it works.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this is the way it should be.
Mm-hmm.
When you realize and go, wait a second.
Yeah. But they were willing to do that. Curtis, I know what you're going to say, and you're right. You're spot on.
Oh.
They were willing to do that because they had the opportunity to play with Tom Brady and I think also to play for Bill Belichick.
I think not only that, you're right, Greg, that was the reason. But the end point is, how many former Patriots do you see on national TV talking football?
A lot.
Why do you think that is? Because they were always on TV, and America got to know Teddy Bruschi and Devin McCourty and Tom Brady and Gronk and Julian Edelman and Rob Ninkovich. All of those guys make money on the back end because they sacrificed to win. And I think if Matthew Judon was a Patriot in 2014, he would have acquiesced.
Yeah.
That's my guess.
Yeah.
But I think when you're not a championship caliber team, the coach doesn't have the clout that Bill does, then you get situations like this.
And you've sadly become like most other franchises in the NFL where it's about the money. It's not necessarily about the chance to win a Super Bowl. It's really just about the money, and you're willing to hold out and get that money somewhere else because it doesn't matter to Matthew Judon whether he's playing here or whether he's playing in Cleveland. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to him.
And but in Cleveland, the difference is the fans are not brainwashed, and in Cleveland, their fans would be like, you need to pay him. He's one of our best players. What the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
So that is the difference where, like you said, which is spot on, Greg, here, the brainwashed, the allure of the magic show that New England has done, and it comes with winning, it comes with Bill and Tom, they go, oh, this player's being greedy.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't about winning. No, it's about, hey, I want to win, but I still want to get what I feel like I'm worth.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to say that, and I know, Wiggy, we've talked about this at times over the last several years, not recently, but there was some frustration within the union in Tom Brady that,
hell yeah,
that he, his decision to take less really hurt players that didn't have the earning power that he did.
Hell yeah. Players will tell you that, like, Tom, what the hell are you doing?
Right.
That is a dumb move because you're hurting the rest of us.
First time I heard that was Ty Law on the show. When, like, Ty Law said that, I never thought of it that way. Yeah. I just thought, wow, people must look at Tom Brady, especially in that locker room, and say, wow, Tom Brady really sacrificing for all of us. In reality, he was setting up everybody else for taking less money.
Right. This is Art from Walpole. Hello, Art.
Good morning, everybody.
What's up?
I think both of you are, not too much. I think both you guys are right, though. Here's the deal. This is a football team whose popularity and interest is on the decline, and probably significantly if they go for another 2 or 3 win season. They're a team without stars. They need a star. So he has to pay this guy. He has to get him on the field. He's one of the few stars. He's one of the few people that fans come to see.
Mm-hmm.
And by the letter of the law, should he play for his contract? Of course. But Kraft needs to pay this guy and get his butt on the field, because there's not much interest in this football team right now. And when they decide to go down the tubes, you got to have somebody out there worth watching. Well, he's one of them.
I guess we'll find out when it comes to Robert Kraft's medal, if that's M-E-T-T-L-E, medal,
mm-hmm.
if that's how he feels about it and whether or not he's going to write the check.
Don't we know, like, because people go, well, like you said, he signed the contract, but haven't we been watching football and been fans of football long enough to know that it's just paper they put it on, right? Don't we know that it's really not about that in the National Football League? It's about, well, if this guy outperforms his contract, he's probably going to come ask for more money.
He didn't, unfortunately, because of an injury, mm-hmm. he didn't outperform his contract last season. He didn't. So,
right, but he still has the leverage, though.
Well, we're going to find out whether
is
he does
this
or not.
Let me ask you this.
Let's find out whether he has the leverage or
not. If they trade him tomorrow, is this defense the same?
It's probably worse.
So he has the leverage.
Measurably. But
if they trade him somewhere, anywhere, do you think that team would give him 12 to 15 million?
Probably, yeah.
So he has
the
leverage.
The Patriots would give him 12 to 15 million. I think he's looking for 20 plus.
Okay, so 20 plus.
I mean, is somebody going to give him $20 million at 32 years old when he's been injured?
When he's only been injured, last year was his first time he was hurt, and he was on pace for, if you really want to do the math, he was on pace for 17 sacks.
Yeah.
And I have a question, Greg. Do you think other teams would have paid Steven Belichick $2 million to be the defensive
Probably
coordinator?
Probably not.
So then why did Kraft okay that?
I don't think he had any say in it
right.
when it came to that. I think he was committed to the guy that was the best coach in the NFL and let him run things in that area the way he wanted to run them in that area.
Right.
In that world, it's all about, in the NFL, it's all about leverage. My agent used to tell me all the time, it's about leverage. Unfortunately, you don't have enough of it.
Yes.
So when you do, that's when you got to try to capitalize.
I was speaking yesterday with the man who will be captaining the cigarette boat that you're going to be on Friday. Uh-huh. He said also, when you get on the boat, it's all going to be about leverage.
All right.
that's one of the things that he said.
What time is that Friday?
9 o'clock Oof. Is when Wiggy will go 180 miles per hour.
Just keep that thing on the water.
190 knots or whatever it is. We cannot wait for that moment.
You know what
Friday.
We should do before 9 on Friday?
What?
Have the Greg Hill Show Last Supper.
We should. We're going to bring an attorney in so Wiggy can do his will, make sure his will is up to date.
Right. Eamon will be with me, right? Because somebody's going to have to film it, so there'll be an extra person on that boat.
That's why we were hoping for the GoPro, but...
yeah.
Why don't you come on with me, Courtney?
Will you go on it?
I'll record him.
Would you go on it?
Yeah.
You would?
Yep.
You're not afraid?
No.
You have anxiety about a lot of things, but not about a boat going.
I love boats.
You do.
Yeah.
You love boats.
I love
Courtney
boats.
Will be able to tell you exactly where one person was killed on a cigarette boat 17 years ago.
I love how when you asked her, she went,
sounds like she would, I think.
What would stink is that if, God forbid, something were to happen, all the news coverage, it would be like Super Bowl champ Jermaine Wiggins dead. Along with his co-host, yes. Courtney Cox. Like, I would
Let
have
me ask
the...
a quick question. Yes. I know we're up against it. We got to get to the news.
Yeah.
Would Santo remarry, and how quickly?
Yes, I think he would remarry.
He would?
Wow. Yeah. I don't think men can be alone.
Wow.
And, you know, he's young, and I would want his. I would want happiness for him.
You
and
would?
He wants to be a dad.
Oh, you would want him to remarry.
And I would want him to be able to be a dad.
What's the waiting time, though, if your spouse expires? Is it 6 months? Or
no,
is it
6 months. It's not...
You could be a dad without remarrying.
Yeah, no, but I want him to. I would want him to find love again.
Yeah.
He exudes love.
Uh-huh.
I think it would be, you know, a year and a half, or 2 years.
Wow. That would be the appropriately
for him to start
dating. Thing to do is to wait a year and a half.
Yeah, wow. And he better get like a tattoo or something.
Would he have to do like one of those Greek like 13-day mourning festivals?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, no. Courtney.
What's he gonna get? Like a Courtney. Like a Coco tattoo?
Yeah, maybe on like his ring finger.
I don't know if his new wife would like
she
that.
She not like that.
I'm deceased.
What do you want him to get? Like a tramp stamp that says
no,
Coco?
No, like on his ring finger. Wiggy has a tattoo on his ring finger. I think that's really nice. Okay.
But he can't do that because then if he, like Greg says, he's remarried. He should never remarry.
Well, do you guys have, like, do your loved ones have the photo you would want them to use if, like, God forbid something happened to you or if you went missing?
No, who plans their? No, do you have your funeral already planned out?
No, not my funeral.
I would probably have the dog leash one. That would be mine. But...
no, I like one of my dating show, Mary, actually, if I were to ever go missing, she has the photo I would like for my family to use. Yeah. And I have hers.
I mean, so you're worried about what your photo is going to look like on the missing pictures?
Well, God forbid my mom chose it, and it would be like this blurry photo, you know.
That is next level vanity.
It really is. Guys, if I'm ever kidnapped and sex trafficked, here's the photo I want on my poster.
Yeah.
I see that. Yeah, I could see you being one of those people if you do get arrested. Like, hold on, let me put on some makeup before I do my headshot.
But like
before it goes viral.
My mom's
My
mom's would be a screenshot where you could see, you know, the URL on top and photos behind.
Yeah, call that a Greg.
Dating Show Mary has the photo of me, and I have the one of...
We would do 1 week of no shows, just silence.
Of course. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. All right.
Thank you.
We will get to Courtney and today's news next. Friday morning, Tipsy Seagull, Fall River. It's a Flex Fall, the Fall Riviera. We will be there for a Flex Friday, and I hope you will join us starting at 6.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile, and on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Coming up at 9, we will talk with Craig Breslow, the chief baseball officer of the Boston Red Sox, who was busy right up into the deadline last night at 6. Acquiring a couple right-handed arms for the bullpen, and we'll talk to Craig Breslow about that. I was talking to Wiggy during the break, and I think this is a fan perspective. The issue that the Patriots have created for themselves when it comes to a holdout like Matthew Judon is, in my mind, that they did such a great job of presenting the Patriot way and the do it for the team perspective that you looked at a guy like Julian Edelman and said, wow, Julian Edelman could be making $6 million a year if he were playing for somebody else, but he wants to be here playing for this team, and so he's willing to take $3 million.
Nailed
and so,
it.
Huh?
You nailed it. Because it makes everybody look now, who's probably just doing what people have been doing forever, ungrateful. And that's the issue that Patriots fans have. It's because for so long we were winning and guys were, quote, taking less to be here and better the team.
Yes.
Now guys are asking for their worth.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all saying, well, so you're not loyal to us Patriots fans? And everybody's offended by it.
Right. And you know what they did? They are the perfect, great movie, and I love this movie. They are the perfect Kaiser Sose, the Kevin Spacey character, where they make you believe that this is how it works.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this is the way it should be.
Mm-hmm.
When you realize and go, wait a second.
Yeah. Well, they were willing to do that. Curtis, I know what you're going to say, and you're right. You're spot on.
Oh.
They were willing to do that because they had the opportunity to play with Tom Brady and I think also to play for Bill Belichick.
I think not only that, you're right, Greg, that was the reason. But the end point is, how many former Patriots do you see on national TV talking football?
A lot.
Why do you think that is? Because they were always on TV, and America got to know Teddy Bruschi and Devin McCourty and Tom Brady and Gronk and Julian Edelman and Rob Ninkovich. All of those guys make money on the back end because they sacrificed to win. And I think if Matthew Judon was a Patriot in 2014, he would have acquiesced.
Yeah.
That's my guess.
Yeah.
But I think when you're not a championship caliber team, the coach doesn't have the clout that Bill does. Then you get situations like this.
And you've sadly become like most other franchises in the NFL where it's about the money. It's not necessarily about the chance to win a Super Bowl. It's really just about the money, and you're willing to hold out and get that money somewhere else because it doesn't matter to Matthew Judon whether he's playing here or whether he's playing in Cleveland. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to him.
But in Cleveland, the difference is the fans are not brainwashed, and in Cleveland, their fans would be like, you need to pay him. He's one of our best players. What the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
So that is the difference where, like you said, which is spot on, Greg, here, the brainwash, the allure of the magic show that New England has done, and it comes with winning, it comes with Bill and Tom, they go, oh, this player's being greedy.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't about winning. No, it's about, hey, I want to win, but I still want to get what I feel like I'm worth.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to say that, and I know, Wiggy, we've talked about this at times over the last several years, not recently, but there was some frustration within the union in Tom Brady that
hell yeah.
That his decision to take less really hurt players that didn't have the earning power that he did.
Hell yeah. Players will tell you that, like, Tom, what the hell are you doing?
Right.
That is a dumb move because you hurting the rest of us.
First time I heard that was Ty Law on the show. When Ty Law said that, I never thought of it that way.
Yeah.
I just thought, wow, people must look at Tom Brady, especially in that locker room, and say, wow, Tom Brady really sacrificing for all of us. In reality, he was setting up everybody else for taking less money.
Right. This is Art from Walpole. Hello, Art.
Good morning, everybody.
What's up?
I think both of you are, not too much. I think both you guys are right, though. Here's the deal. This is a football team whose popularity and interest is on the decline, and probably significantly if they go for another 2 or 3 win season. They're a team without stars. They need a star. So he has to pay this guy. He has to get him on the field. He's one of the few stars. He's one of the few people that fans come to see.
Mm-hmm.
And by the letter of the law, should he play for his contract? Of course. But Kraft needs to pay this guy and get his butt on the field because there's not much interest in this football team right now. And when they decide to go down the tubes, you got to have somebody out there worth watching.
Well,
he's one of them.
I guess we'll find out when it comes to Robert Kraft's medal, if that's M-E-T-T-L-E, medal, if that's how he feels about it and whether or not he's going to write the check.
Don't we know, like, because people go, well, like you said, he signed the contract. But haven't we been watching football and been fans of football long enough to know that it's just paper they put it on? Right? Don't we know that it's really not about that in the National Football League? It's about, well, if this guy outperforms his contract, he's probably going to come ask for more money.
Didn't, unfortunately, because of an injury, he didn't outperform his contract last season. He didn't. So,
right, but he still has the leverage, though.
Well, we're going to find out whether
he does
or not.
Let me ask you this.
Let's find out whether he has the leverage or
not. If they trade him tomorrow, is this defense the same?
It's probably worse.
So he has the leverage.
Measurably.
And if they trade him somewhere, anywhere, do you think that team would give him $12 to $15 million?
Probably, yeah.
So he has.
Well, I
the
think
leverage.
The Patriots would give him $12 to $15 million. I think he's looking for 20+.
Okay, so 20 plus.
I mean, is somebody going to give him $20 million
yep.
at 32 years old when he's been injured? I mean,
yep. When he's only been injured. Last year was his first time he was hurt, and he was on pace for. If you really want to do the math, he was on pace for 17 sacks.
Yeah.
I have a question, Greg. Do you think other teams would have paid Steven Belichick $2 million to be the defensive
Probably
coordinator?
Probably not.
So then why did Kraft okay that?
I don't think he had any say in it
right.
when it came to that. I think he was committed to the guy that was the best coach in the NFL and let him run things in that area the way he wanted to run them in that area.
Right.
In that world, it's all about, in the NFL, it's all about leverage. My agent used to tell me all the time, it's about leverage. Unfortunately, you don't have enough of it.
Yes.
So when you do, that's when you got to try to capitalize.
I was speaking yesterday with the man who will be captaining the cigarette boat that you're going to be on Friday. Uh-huh. He said also, when you get on the boat, it's all going to be about leverage.
All right.
That's one of the things that he said.
What time is that Friday?
9 o'clock Oof. Is when Wiggy will go 180 miles per hour.
Just keep that thing on the water.
190 knots or whatever it is. And we cannot wait for that moment.
You know what
Friday.
We should do before 9 on Friday?
What?
Have the Greg Hill Show Last Supper.
We should. We're going to bring an attorney in so Wiggy can do his will. Make sure his will is up to date.
Right. Eamon will be with me, right? Because somebody's going to have to film it, so there'll be an extra person on that boat.
That's why we were hoping for the GoPro, but...
yeah.
Why don't you come on with me, Courtney?
Will you go on it?
I'll record him.
Would you go on it?
Yeah.
You would?
Yep.
You're not afraid?
No.
You have anxiety about a lot of things, but not about a boat going.
I love
going.
Boats.
You do.
Yeah.
You love boats.
I love
Courtney
boats.
Will be able to tell you exactly where one person was killed on a cigarette boat 17 years ago.
I love how when you asked her, she went,
sounds like she would, I think.
What would stink is that if, God forbid, something were to happen, all the news coverage, it would be like Super Bowl champ Jermaine Wiggins dead. Along with his co-host,
yes.
Courtney
Cox.
Like, I would
Let
have
me ask
the...
ask a quick question.
Yes.
I know we're up against it. We got to get to the news.
Yeah.
Would Santo remarry, and how quickly?
Yes, I think he would remarry.
He would?
Wow.
Yeah. I don't think men can be alone.
Wow.
And, you know, he's young, and I would want happiness for him.
You
and
would?
He wants to be a dad.
Oh, you would
and
want
so,
him to remarry.
And I would want him to be able to be a dad.
What's the waiting time, though,
if
your spouse expires? Is it 6 months? Or
no,
is it,
6 months.
It's not...
You could be a dad without remarrying.
Yeah, no, but I want him to find. I would want him to find love again.
Yeah.
He exudes love.
Oh.
I think it would be, you know, a year and a half, or 2 years.
Wow. That would be the appropriately
for him to start
honorable
dating.
Thing to do is to wait a year and a half.
Yeah, and he better get like a tattoo or something.
Would he have to do like one of those Greek like 13-day mourning festivals?
Yeah, I mean, no.
What's he gonna get? Like a Courtney. Like a cocoa tattoo?
Yeah, maybe on like his ring finger.
I don't know if his new wife would like
she
that.
She don't like that.
I'm deceased.
What do you want him to get? Like a tramp stamp that says
no,
cocoa?
No, like on his ring finger. Wiggy has a cocoa tattoo on his ring here. Finger. I think that's
name.
Really nice.
Okay.
But
all
he can't do that because then if he, like Greg says, he's remarried. He should never remarry.
Well, do you guys have, like, do your loved ones have the photo you would want them to use if, like, God forbid something happened to you or if you went missing?
Wow, who plans their? No, you have your funeral already planned out?
No, not my funeral.
I would probably have the dog leash one. That would be mine.
One of my dating show, Mary, actually, if I were to ever go missing, she has the photo I would
for my
family to use. Yeah. And I have hers.
I mean, so you're worried about what your photo is going to look like on the missing pictures?
Well, God forbid my mom chose it, and it would be like this blurry photo, you know.
That is psychotic. Next level vanity.
It really is. Guys, if I'm ever kidnapped and sex trafficked, here's the photo I want on my poster.
Yeah.
I see that. Yeah, I could see you being one of those people if you do get arrested. Like, hold on, let me put on some makeup before I do my mugshot.
But like my
before it goes viral.
My
I want
mom's
them to be like,
be
ooh, she's a smoke
my
show.
My mom's would be a screenshot where you could see, you know, the URL on top and photos behind.
Yeah, we call that a Greg.
Dating Show Mary has the photo of me, and I have the one of...
We would do 1 week of no shows, just silence.
Of course. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. All right.
Thank you.
We will get to Courtney and today's news next. Friday morning, Tipsy Seagull, Fall River. It's a flex, the Fall Riviera. We will be there for a Flex Friday, and I hope you will join us starting at 6.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.